Hello everybody and welcome to another edition of the AfriCast. So sorry for being gone the past, it's been 2 weeks. We had a bit of a technical issue with the AfriCast. That seems to have been resolved now. Although we now face another issue where Eskom just decided that it was time for me to have load shedding, even though it's not on my schedule to be on load shedding. Anyway,
hey.
Welcome to the AfriCast. I'm joined this week by Robin Lichetti. How are you doing, Robin?
The hits keep coming, I guess.
And Clinton Matos, how are you doing?
All things considered, fine.
Fine, yeah. I think fine is just the default answer for everybody this week. Right, let's get straight into it. Clinton, you've been dealing with some UNISA stuff this week, I believe.
Yeah, this is a big reason why I'm just fine. So UNISA is starting its second semester of 2020, or rather it's already progressing into the second semester. But returning students who were part of the university in the first semester are facing a third extension for registration. And while that sounds kind of innocuous, like, so what, they extend the registration, it's actually because of a lot of delays that happened at the school. All the details will be in the story, but the long and the short of it is they've delayed this date 3 times already. The final day was supposed to be the 24th of July. Then it was extended to the 5th of August. Then it was extended to the 11th of August. And now it's on the 18th of August, which is 4 days from the time of recording this. And why this is important is because the later that you register and get into the semester, the less time you have to study, the less time you have to do your assignments, the less time you have to prepare for the examinations, which are taking place very soon. The examinations season at UNISA for the second semester is in October and November, which is like, what, a month and a bit away.
Yeah.
It's crazy. A lot of people are saying on Twitter that when they finally did get registered, they found out that their first assignment was due the same week. And again, a bit of UNISA stuff here. At UNISA, if you do not submit your first assignment, you automatically fail the module, automatically. The reasoning that the school has always given for this is that a lot of people register for things and then they just never do anything. And it creates a lot of admin for them. So that first assignment is basically roll call saying, hey, I'm registered and I'm an active student.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the school hasn't said why this is all happening, but it's because of exam delays. The exams were written a bit later than usual because of COVID, but then the university was months behind in releasing the results for those exams. And anyone saying we should give them a break because of the pandemic, no. The same thing happened in the first semester of 2020, long before the coronavirus arrived in South Africa and long before the national lockdowns. This is the second semester in a row that there have been 3 delays in a row. So yeah, got a bit heated there, but check out the story. Makes me very angry. Brendan, you're going to talk about something that makes some people very angry.
Well, yeah. So the temporary employee relief scheme that was created at the start of the COVID-19 pandemic, not the start of the pandemic, when the pandemic hit South Africa, this was established by the Unemployment Insurance Fund. And we have some news regarding that. If you are an employer or employee that has filed for claims, you will remember that last month when the national state of disaster was extended until 15th of August, which is tomorrow, that the TERS applications were also extended. So if you hadn't applied yet, you could apply and your application would be processed. So now the UIF has come out and said that the applications will be processed from Monday the 17th of August for the claims that were submitted for July and August. That's for this extension period from the 1st to the 15th of August, 1st of July to the 15th of August. In addition to this, they've expanded the category of folks that can apply. These are now employers and employees who are not permitted to commence operations under the disaster management regulations, employers who are unable to make alternative arrangements for vulnerable workers, and employees who are unable to make use of their services because of operational requirements caused by compliance with the regulations and directions such as rostering, staggering work hours, short time, and introduction of shift systems. There's a full story with all the details on there if you are looking to apply. I know that some applications have been very slow to be paid out, but payments are being made. The UIF's website for TERS actually includes a little section where you can search for your company to see if they have been paid. If they haven't been paid yet, then obviously take it a bit further. But yeah, we'll have links to all that at the bottom. Payments, once again, for applications submitted from 1st to 15th July will be processed from Monday onwards. In addition to this, sorry, before I let you guys go, applications for April and May 2020 have been extended to 15 September. So if you are applying for relief for April and May and you haven't yet submitted that application, you now have until the 15th of September. Claims will continue to be processed. Existing claims will remain open for corrections and finalization beyond this date, but no new applications will be accepted beyond the 15th of September. Robin, you have some news for us this week as well.
Yeah, so I think we've both been kind of tracking the story with regards to Uber and Lyft and the state of California. Mm-hmm. I guess this issue kind of started at the beginning of the COVID-19 pandemic in the United States, specifically around gig workers, which Uber drivers and Lyft drivers kind of fall under. They're currently classified as temporary workers. But a court has now decided that they should be classified as employees, which obviously throws a huge spanner in the works as far as Uber and Lyft are concerned. They have tried to fight it in the court and appealed the decision, and that appeal has been denied. So what it means now is that Uber and Lyft will have to reclassify as employees as of 20th August. Going to do so is... It's unclear what will happen to both companies, but there's some serious pushback as far as both of them are concerned. They're even threatening now to leave the state of California as a result of this decision. And it could potentially be quite a significant a decision for South Africa as well. Lyft, less so, but especially Uber. In 2018, the classification of the drivers that made use of the service was also an issue that came up and was raised. As it still stands at the moment, they are still classified as temporary workers. But if, for example, other states in the U.S. start to follow California's ruling as far as classifying of drivers, it could have implications for Uber globally. So on the one hand, I understand the decision to potentially leave the state of California because it means that their business model can still be sustained globally. But at the same time, when you look at the state of gig workers and the gig economy, and especially in light of lockdown and COVID-19 and the risks that many of these jobs are taking, not just for Uber, but for example, Uber Eats as well, being in contact with a lot of people, unfortunately, it looks like Uber and Lyft are the bad guys in this scenario. So
yeah.
This is, I guess, an evolving situation. It remains to be seen. We'll probably know by next week on the 20th of August what steps both companies are going to take, whether they're going to take the drastic decision to leave the state of California, which we know is home to Silicon Valley, which is the tech hub of the world. So it's an evolving situation, and it's one that should be quite interesting to see play out, especially for South Africans, as these are issues that have been raised in the past.
Great. Well, not great. Good stuff. Thanks for giving us an update there, Robin. It's not great. It's really not great, especially if Uber's entire business model collapses and we don't have Uber anymore. Right. So for the meat and potatoes part of today's AfriCast, we're going to be chatting about Fortnite. Everybody loves Fortnite. Well, not everybody.
Well, a lot of people do. Don't be dismissive.
So
I don't think anyone on this podcast does.
I have never played Fortnite, not once.
I played it for an hour, and then I was like, this isn't for me, which is fine.
So the whole story starts yesterday when Epic announced the Fortnite Mega Drop, permanent discounts up to 20%. Basically, in-game purchases were being discounted by 20% on PlayStation, Xbox, Nintendo Switch, PC, and Mac, as well as in the mobile store. And this is where things became suspicious. So Epic announced that if you bought V-Bucks, for instance, through the Apple App Store, you would pay $9.99. However, if you paid Epic directly, you'd get a discount and you would only pay $7.99. So the reason for this is because Apple, and the same would goes for Google Play Store, pay $9.99 to Google or pay $7.99 to Epic. So the reason for this is that Apple and Google collect a 30% fee on any microtransaction or in-app purchases, as it were. And Epic seemingly doesn't like this. And I can understand why. As a company, you want to make as much money as possible. And Fortnite is a very big game. Therefore, it's making a lot of money. And that $2 might not seem like a lot until you start extrapolating it. And you see, okay, wait, I got a million people with $2. I'm losing X amount of money. So this happened, and everybody was praising Epic Games because it's a cheaper price, and they were kind of sticking it to the big guys, Apple and Google. Although, saying that out loud, I now realize that Epic Games is also one of the big guys. So yeah, it's kind of like the big guys sticking it to the bigger guys.
Yeah. It's the big guys backed by Chinese Tencent money.
Yeah.
This is the big guys in Silicon Valley.
Backed by US money. So it's kind of... Pick your poison here. But now, what makes this entire thing so interesting to us, however, is that shortly after announcing this this change, Fortnite was stripped from the Apple App Store, gone, as if it had never existed. Okay, not really. You can still use it. If you have Fortnite downloaded on your Apple device, you are still able to use it. But yeah, so...
You just won't get updates.
Yeah, you just won't get updates when the next season rolls around or when the next patch comes around. Anyway, so Apple removed it from the App Store, saying that Epic Games had violated the App Store guidelines. Epic enabled a feature in its app which was not reviewed or approved by Apple, and they did so with the express intent of violating the App Store guidelines regarding in-app payments that apply to every developer who sells digital goods or services. Now, we've seen this issue being brought up before, most recently last year with Spotify, where Spotify argued that when people pay for a subscription through iTunes, they don't get the full amount. Apple takes a 30% haircut from Spotify's earnings. So, I mean, it's not the first time we've heard of this. So, to my mind, how this was playing out is Epic made this announcement. When I first saw it, I was kind of like, this is strange. How did they get this right? Because Spotify wasn't able to get it right. However, there are some apps that are allowed, that are exempt from this 30% fee. And I believe one of them is Amazon's app. You don't have to pay a fee on that. But that's, yeah, it's a special agreement that was reached between Prime and Apple, or Amazon Prime and Apple. So there's that one exception, but it is noteworthy. So, shortly after Apple announced this, Epic Games came out and said that it has a new short called 1980 Fortnite. So if you haven't seen the video, I'm going to describe it for you very quickly. It's basically Apple's 1984 commercial in which it was kind of sticking it to IBM, except this time it's Fortnite themed with an Apple caricature. And then a statement at the end saying that Epic Games has stood up to Apple and who has removed Fortnite from its store from over a billion devices. And oh, my heart bleeds. Lumpy blue custard for them. So they screened this in Fortnite, and everybody was applauding Fortnite, Epic Games, for sticking it to Apple. And I think something that Epic didn't even see coming was Google removing Fortnite from the Google Play Store. While we don't have any information about that, actually we do. We have a statement from a Google spokesperson who spoke to The Verge, who said that the open Android ecosystem lets developers distribute apps through multiple app stores. For game developers who choose to use the Play Store, we have consistent policies that are fair to developers and keep the store safe for users. While Fortnite remains available on Android, we can no longer make it available on Play because it violates our policies. However, we welcome the opportunity to continue our discussions with Epic and bring Fortnite back to Google Play. So, as of right now, Epic Games hasn't said anything further to that. I have seen reports that they are suing Google, but I haven't actually, I can't confirm that because This announcement was made just a couple of hours ago, local time. And yeah, there's nothing here. Also, it should be noted that you can install Fortnite on a Google or an Android device by sideloading it. So it's not as locked in as Apple's ecosystem. But this now has brought us to the point where we are today and what we're going to be discussing in today's AfriCast. We're going to be chatting about whether storefronts should be taking a cut of what is sold on their storefronts. Now, this is a debate that I think has been going since online storefronts became a thing, as it were. And I think that you will find in many online stores, whether they are selling physical goods or digital goods, there is an agreement that we'll put your product on our site and then you pay us a percentage of what you get. So I think I want to start with you, Robin. Do you think that online stores should be taking a percentage of sales made by developers from their storefront?
So I think it really depends on what the developer has created and what the app is doing specifically. In the case of Spotify, as far as I understood, it was that Apple were wanting 30% of the monthly subscriptions when a customer or user went from the free version of Spotify to the paid version, the premium version of Spotify.
And then paid through Apple.
So that doesn't really sit well with me. When it comes to the Epic situation, again, these are in-app purchases. So for a company like Epic to take the moral high ground when it comes to microtransactions, I'm not for it. They'll get no sympathy from me. Also, they read the T's and C's of joining the storefronts. They know what's involved, and they and the fact that they kind of created that 1984, however they want to brand it, they created that ad. Speaks to the fact that they knew exactly what they were doing.
So, Robin, just before we go anywhere and we get sued for slander or anything, the rumor right now, the rumor that is unsubstantiated right now is that when Epic did these changes, they knew there would be backlash with Apple, and they prepared both that short and their legal proceedings. Because I don't know if you mentioned it, Brendan, but they're also suing Apple.
For
Apple, they prepared a 64-page document for their legal proceedings, and you don't do that in
an hour. No, absolutely right, Clinton. I tend to agree with that rumor as well, especially with the 1980 Fortnite thing. Like, that's not something that you just slap together in 1 hour. Sorry, Fortnite. I know that your guys are good. They're not that good. Yeah.
Animation is difficult. You can't do that as fast as Epic supposedly did it. It's just too fast.
I mean,
I didn't mean to hijack your stuff there. I just wanted to point out, before we say anything for sure, it's a rumor right now that they planned all of this. They orchestrated it.
Yeah.
It's unsure right now if they knew they would also be banned from Google, though. Sorry, continue with what you're saying there.
It's just the fact that Epic knew what they were doing. I think it's a calculated move. So again, you knew what you were signing up for. And again, I have a very negative view of microtransactions. So for a company to say they're doing this for the good of the community, it just doesn't stick for me. I think Spotify has a better case in terms of how it was dealing with Apple than Epic does in this situation. That's just kind of my feeling on it.
Clinton, your thoughts?
I got a hot take for you guys. I don't think the majority of storefronts deserve 30%, but I think Steam does. Now, some people think that's insane. A lot of people look at Steam, Uplay, Origin, the Epic Game Store, and they're like, you know, six of one, half a dozen of the other. But when you look at what Steam offers the end user, right? Not the developers. Think of what Steam offers you, right? You can use almost any Steam game using Steam's home sharing, so other people can play the game without paying for it. You can use most games in the Play Together feature, which is wireless. So you can play co-op games online, which is bonkers. For years, people were saying, you know, I really love this game, but the co-op or the multiplayer is only local. I can't do it online. Mm. Steam came in and they're like, yo, we solved that. You can just do it online. The back end of ours will support all of that.
For free. Let's also put that. You don't have to pay a monthly subscription to play multiplayer online on Steam.
Yeah. And you can do it on your mobile devices. Now, again, this is a whole nother quagmire because now Apple blocked this as well, where you couldn't use the Steam functionality. But if you own a game on Steam and you have a good Wi-Fi connection, you can just open the Steam app on your phone and play the game using a controller. Or even Steam has put in the work to do on-screen controls for games that they're not involved with.
Yeah,
Steam offers so much to the end user that as a developer or publisher, I think they are providing so much value on top of, you know, server backends, the store front end, which is what most stores offer only. Mm. They offer so much value to your consumer that I think they've earned that 30%. I don't think Steam is sitting on their billions of dollars like a dragon and just not doing anything with it. They are using at least some of that money to improve their service. And the other services aren't. So that's my hot take to answer the question, Brendan. Do I think they deserve 30%? No, but I think Steam is an exception. And if other stores can come to me and say, we offer you X, Y, and Z, then I'll change my tune. But for the end user, Steam just offers so much. Now, again, I'm not a developer or, you know, an artist on Spotify. Maybe there's differences. I know, for example, like Bandcamp offers a slightly higher pay per play than Spotify. So, I'm going to stand by that. I think they don't deserve it, with the exception of Steam and maybe some other services that I'm not too familiar with.
So I'm going to go contrary to what you have said, Kristen. And I'm going to say that I think that storefronts do deserve a portion of your sales. However, that there needs to be a line drawn at where that portion ends. So I think that you should be paying for distribution because these places are distributing the file for you. You should pay for security because places like Google Play do have Google Play Protect to make sure that your app doesn't get compromised, all that sort of stuff. And obviously to handle the e-commerce side of things. Like, I think that that's where storefronts do offer a sort of benefit to developers, because rather than having to go and create your own Uplay or your own Bethesda launcher or your own whatever it is, you can just make use of all the stuff that is there provided for you by Google. Now, should it be 30%? That's a debate that needs to be had now, though. That is a large amount of money. And when you're talking about something as big as Fortnite, 30% starts to hurt you. It really does start to hurt you. And when you are available on so many platforms, you're able to see how much that's hurting you. You kind of got to think from the business perspective how this works. Now, this is the issue that I have with what Apple and Google are doing is they are taking the microtransactions for Fortnite. So that's your stuff like your Battle Pass, your e-bucks, all that sort of stuff, which I don't think that Google and Apple are entitled to, because they are not doing anything in that regard. The game, you're providing the game, sure, but the game is free to download. That you need to deal with Epic on its side, is that they need to pay for that. But for every transaction, I don't think that that's 100% fair, especially if it's for in-game microtransactions. And yeah, there's debates, like Robin mentions, about microtransactions at large. But I think for the main crux of the matter is that 30% is a lot of money when you start to talk about it. I think it was a few years ago with Steam was under fire when the Epic Games Store launched. Steam came under fire for charging as much as it did for developers. And there were some changes. I believe that the more you sell, the less you pay Steam now. And there's special agreements for developers that independent developers that are on, what's that thing, Steam? I forget the name of it now. Is it Greenlight still? I can't remember.
I don't think Steam Greenlight. Yeah, I don't think it exists how it used to. I think it's just early access or something, really.
Yeah, yeah. So there are some special agreements there. But like Linson says, like, Steam does a lot for the end user. You get a lot of benefit when you put your game on Steam. I'm sure that you get a lot more money. Like, for instance, if you put your game on Epic Games Store, you get a lot more money from it. But as a user, I prefer Steam because it's just much more user-friendly and gives me exactly what I need and the features that I look for.
And it has a shopping cart.
And yeah, that's the most important thing, the shopping carts. Epic Games, you know.
Epic Store doesn't have it. So, Brendan, let me just clarify your point. So you think 30% on the sale of a paid game is fine, but 30% on every microtransaction is too
much. I think that 30% as a percentage for anything is too much. You're asking for a third of somebody's revenue there, which is a hard ask. Yeah. It's like if I went to Pick and Pay and I was selling, I don't know, brownies. I went to Pick and Pay and I said, hey, I want to sell these brownies on your store. And they said, cool, but we want a third of everything that you sell. I'd be like, no, thanks, but no, bye. It's just a bit too much. But when it comes to microtransactions, I don't think that Google Play and Apple have any right to any of those fees because they're not doing anything to earn those fees, as it were.
So I want to bring up 2 points quick, Brendan, if you don't mind. The easiest way to think about this as a person, don't think about, you know, Epic and Google and Apple who have a million accountants and lawyers and stuff like that. And don't look at their balance sheets. Just think about it like this. What if your employer came to you and said, listen, because I provided you this job and because, I don't know, I speak to the clients and I organize the work and everything, I'm going to take your pay and just take 30% off the top. How's that? Like, I'm going to take the pay you have right now and I'm just going to take off 30% because I think I deserve it for providing this job to you. Just think of your pay, your monthly or weekly pay, and take off 30% and think about how much that would hurt. Now, again, I don't want people to humanize these companies because a lot of them are not the best companies, but just it's the best way to think about it as a singular person. Your pay being cut like that. The other thing I wanted to mention is that 20%. I was a bit confused when I saw that last night on Twitter. I thought they were just doing it because they were just saying to the community, "Hey, for a long time, yes, 20% off." And it's not until I looked into it further that I got the shock that they were basically setting off a big fight.
But this thing happened so quickly. Yeah, sorry, Robin, carry on. You wanted to say something.
Yeah, I just wanted to play devil's advocate for a moment here. So, I haven't looked at any contract that Apple has with its developers and publishers and stuff like that, or Google. But the 30%, yes, it is too much. I agree with both you guys on that count. But it is part of the terms and conditions that you use to sign up for these platforms, for these storefronts.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, you've signed up for it. I take a bit of issue with the example of the employee and then the owner or boss coming and saying, okay, now I'm taking 30%. If for example, it's stapled in the contract before you sign, then that's just... Unfortunately, that's what you've signed up for. I think perhaps my view is a little bit skewed purely for the fact that Epic is so huge. I think what it really boils down to is smaller developers, smaller publishers that have smaller teams, are working on very, sorry for using small again, but small margins. And I think perhaps a better discussion around this is dominance of marketplaces. I know that in the Spotify example we used, the European Union regulators actually looked into antitrust issues around Apple and its dominance of the app marketplace. So I think a larger issue is how much power these platforms have, because they can dictate terms in terms of how much revenue they can take from a company.
So
that's a big issue in my view.
So this kind of branches off into my next line of questioning. I don't know, at the top of the podcast, I said I don't want to talk about WeChat and TikTok. But we are now going to, because the reason I want to bring this up is because we're now seeing this sort of push from the US to get rid of Chinese applications. Or kind of limit the power that Chinese companies have in the US. I think that's a better way of phrasing it. So we've seen the likes of, what's their name? Huawei. We've seen Huawei not able to do business with US companies anymore. Now we see TikTok, and pretty soon it will be WeChat as well. So why I'm bringing this up is relates to the Epic game and the Apple and Google Play Store is because I wonder if it's not time for the entire world to start looking to the big companies in Silicon Valley and asking them the important questions that the likes of Donald Trump and his administration are asking. Because one of the things that I've noticed about all of this is that these are now decisions that are being made by companies in the US that affect users well beyond the limits of the United States. So let's say, for instance, TikTok gets banned from the US because Microsoft is unable to buy the company. TikTok then is not allowed to be on the Apple App Store or Google Play Store purely by virtue of the fact that those companies are US companies. Doesn't matter that they operate in other parts of the world. Who cares? You have to comply with the US law. So I wonder if it's now not time to have a discussion about the power that these US companies have and whether we should be asking them the same questions that the US is asking Chinese companies. What sort of data are you collecting on our citizens? What do you know about our citizens? Because here's the thing, right? Is everybody is, oh, TikTok is stealing data from US citizens and it knows who they are. And I just look and go, why are you worried about that? You got all that stuff on Facebook. I mean, what about the UK? Do they not care that Facebook has all this data on its citizens? What about South Africa, other African nations? Do they not care that Facebook has all this info on us? Yes.
Brendan, can I answer that for you? I know the answer. It's a very simple one. The American and the British companies share that information with their governments, and the Chinese companies don't share that information with the US or UK governments.
All right. That's the answer.
It's very simple. So I don't mean to shoot you down, but time and again, we know that the American companies will give these back doors to the powers that be.
Mm-hmm.
But the Chinese companies, by virtue of not being under the jurisdiction of British or American governments, don't. And it's making those governments very nervous to know, hey, no one collects data on our citizens except us. I really think that's the whole conversation. Mm. That's the whole reason.
Well, I mean, look at how the US firms are treated. I mean, what is it? I think it was last week or the week before that. Google, Amazon, Apple, and Facebook.
Yeah,
all had to appear before the US Senate to kind of discuss how much control they had over the tech industry. And obviously, the tech companies and the CEOs were very much of the fact that we do so much for the US, we provide so much for this economy, we are essentially untouchable.
Yeah.
Do not come to us with this nonsense.
Well, I mean, you're right, Robin. You're 100% correct with what you say there. I mean, I watched some of that stuff, and it was just like the non-answers that some of those tech CEOs gave was just appalling. And then you have the US senators sitting there who don't know what these people are actually saying, because they don't have any understanding of technology. And it just boggles my mind that these people are allowed to continue doing what they are doing. Facebook admitted that it was responsible for the genocide in, what's that place now? Now the name just left me.
Is it Myanmar?
Myanmar, yes. Yeah. It admitted, it said that we were responsible for that. What happened to them? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. They got a fine.
Arbiters of truth. There aren't arbiters of truth, remember?
Yeah, I hear you. But this is the problem, is that these companies wield so much power.
Facebook need to be the arbiters of truth.
Yes. So,
Brendan, I just want to add something to that. The dominance of American companies is at least partly tied to the dominance of the US military, because what's Myanmar going to do? Invade the United States?
Yeah.
That's not going to happen.
That's the other thing, right? Yeah. Is you have this massive superpower that is the US, economic and from a military strength perspective. They are huge. So to kind of go and say to them, well, we don't want to do business with you anymore. Just imagine if a South African company went and said, we're not going to do business on Facebook anymore or Twitter or support US companies. You killed yourself. You basically killed yourself by taking a stand against US companies. But I think that it's perhaps time to have a wider conversation about the power that these companies have around the world, not just in the US. Because, and this is the problem with US companies, is that, or the US Senate, is that they believe that America is just America and Everything outside America does not exist. Obviously, I'm joking here, but that's the impression that they give to the rest of the world. And I think that it's time for the rest of the world to kind of go, hang on, maybe we should be asking these questions to the US companies. Because if you're a person in Africa now who wants to play Fortnite on your iPhone, sorry, mate, these two companies are having a feud. You're not allowed to do this. And then the user gets thrown out completely, right? When Epic and Steam were having their little shots at each other a couple of years ago, the user didn't suffer. But now, you know what? Who cares? The user's going to suffer until one of them cracks. Eventually, either Apple is going to crack, Google is going to crack, or Facebook or Epic Games is going to crack. And I honestly believe that Epic Games is the one punching up in this situation.
Yeah, I agree with you there, Brendan. And another thing I want to bring up is, I know it's, what would you call it, a meme, a stereotype that a lot of Fortnite players are children, or kids are underage. And I say that because my nephew and all his friends play it, and they're about 7, 8, 9. And again, I'm not saying this with dispersion. I know I said I don't like Fortnite, but that's a personal thing. If somebody who's 30, 40, 50, whatever, says to me, I love playing Fortnite, that's cool. I'm glad you enjoy it. But I do want to bring up this, because that game has such a large population of kids who are underage, who don't understand international geopolitics.
Yeah.
If they take their phone out of their pocket, because all kids have phones now, and they can't play Fortnite, you can't really explain to them what's going on, can you?
No.
It's so complicated. I just wanted to point out that, again, the consumer is kind of being, I almost saw there, they're getting the short end of the stick here. And again, this circles back to the rumor that all of this was on purpose. I think Epic wants those kids who are maybe not at school right now, or who have more time than adults on their hands, to tweet or to email at Apple and Google saying, where's Fortnite, damn it?
Well, I mean, their little 1980 Fortnite video ended off with hashtag free Fortnite.
Yeah. And you know what's hilarious to me? If you showed the original 1984 advert to a large amount of people who play Fortnite, they would have no idea what that is.
Yeah. I'd
be surprised if most of the people who play the game, again, I'm not saying this from a place of malice. I think even most adults who are alive in 1984 wouldn't know
what the connection is. Yeah.
Yeah, they just wouldn't know. And they would think, that's a cool advert that Epic came up with all on their own. It was so strange to me. On the one hand, I have to admire the balls on Epic for making that thing. Because, again, the themes of 1984 are so serious, and for it to be twisted into a capitalist trade war is hilarious. But on the other hand, the fact that the game is so focused on people of a younger age, and they took something that has historical significance, it's just hilarious to me. I'm kind of having a fantastic time watching all of this.
All right. Oh, sorry. Had a bit of a cough there. Robin, are you okay?
Yeah, all good.
Okay. All right. I think we're going to wrap this up now. Does anybody have any closing thoughts before we carry on like a bunch of old men whining at the sky? Robin? Clinton, yeah.
Sorry. I have a lot to say because I've been following this because it's so funny to me. Earlier, Robin said that it is kind of fair for companies to take for storefronts to take the percentage and everything. But something I wanted to point out is that a lot of the benefits that they offer, they just don't provide a lot of the time. For example, do you know how many Fortnite clones are on the Apple App Store and the Google Play Store? You know,
so many.
Yeah, they're taking the 30% from Epic gladly, but they're not doing anything to stop that.
That's funny a fair point.
When they say we're protecting the kids, they always bring up kids. It's the security options. That's why you pay us to keep everything secure. And no, but every day there's scams popping out all the time on your app store. So you're not doing, we're giving you all this money from Epic point of view. You're not doing what you're saying. When we break the contract, you ban us from the store. When you don't enforce the contract every day of the year, nothing happens.
Yeah.
So I'm not sticking up for Epic. I'm just like, this is like
down the perspective. Yeah,
double devil's advocate, because it's a response to Robin's devil's advocate. But sorry, Robin, I cut you off in line there. What did you want to say to close this up?
Yeah, I think as big as Epic is, this isn't Rocky 2.
No.
It's not going to win. Apollo Creed is going to beat Epic in this. Yes. I don't care how many kids hashtag.
Yeah, I agree with you there, Robin. Yeah, I agree with you there. Unfortunately, as I mentioned in my story this morning, Epic punched up, and it has in this case. There are many fights you can take, Apple. You can give developers more money than Steam, and Steam will just have to lie there and take it. You can shut down your game for 48 hours, and your players will sit and watch a blank screen on Twitch for 48 hours loyally. But if you tell Apple and Google that you're not going to pay them the 30%, game over. Sorry, guys. And there's no victory royale for you in this one, unfortunately. Yes! Yes! I'm so proud of myself on that joke.
You did it. Let's just end the podcast. Let's just stop the recording.
Right, that's going to do it from us for this week, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much for joining us. If you want to let us know what you think, if Epic is going to win this fight, let us know on Facebook or Twitter. We'll have links to all of those, as well as all the stories we discussed at the top of the podcast, as always at the bottom of this post. From myself, Brendan Lotz, cheerio, from Clinton Matos.
Righty.
And from Robin Lucchetti.
Okay, everyone.
We'll see you next week. Cheerio.
The number you have dialed is not in service at this time.